In the basis of this Renaissance piety, right, this Northern Renaissance piety, this really an Augustinian piety, as it turns out, Erasmus is a critic of papal abuses. He's a Northerner looking at those Italians and saying, there's an awful lot of things wrong here. He's very famous, in particular, for writing a satire of Pope Julius II. We ran into him way back in our second lecture. He's one of the great Renaissance popes. He's one of those cynical Italians. He's a warrior pope. He also is one of the great patrons of art of all time. He commissioned the Sistine Chapel to be painted by Michelangelo. And he shed a lot of blood. He led armies, right? This is the pope in full armor at the head of armies, leading several military campaigns in Italy, conquering the city of Bologna, for instance, for the papacy. He was called Il Terribile, the terrible, the terrifying. People were just intimidated by him. Well, Erasmus writes a satire of Julius. It's entitled Julius Excluded, Julius Shut Out from Heaven. So the story is, as Erasmus tells it, Julius dies and goes up to the gates of heaven, to St. Peter's gate, and he runs into St. Peter. He's followed, Julius is, by a whole army of noisy ghosts, all the people who had died in Julius's wars, right? He's a conquering hero! And he comes up and he meets St. Peter. Now the joke is, of course, St. Peter is the first pope, and the popes are always claiming their authority is based on their being the successors of Peter, the very first of all the popes, the greatest of the apostles. And Julius meets Peter, and he is not impressed. He is underwhelmed, you might say. Here is this fisherman dressed practically in rags, not in armor or magnificent robes, a humble man who does not impress the great pope. And the great pope, Julius II, proceeds to boast and browbeat poor humble Peter. You shall know who and what I am, says Julius. I raised the revenue of the papacy. I invented all sorts of new offices and sold them. Right? That's how the papacy in the Renaissance raised a lot of money. I invented a new way to sell bishoprics without actually committing simony. Clever man. I took over the city of Bologna for the papacy. I defeated the Venetians, drove the French army out of Italy. I have torn up treaties, kept great armies in the field, covered Rome with palaces, and left behind me 5 million ducats in the treasury. Right. You try to compare with that, you miserable old Peter. Well, Julius does not get into heaven, according to Erasmus. Luther read the book, and needless to say, he liked it. He loved it, in fact. Thought it was one of Erasmus's best books. But interestingly, it's not really Luther's style. Luther is not a satirist. If he was, then there'd be no such thing as the Protestant Reformation. Luther's approach is different, and we'll talk about that. But to continue with Erasmus, he's a critic not just of the popes, but also of various medieval practices which he regards as rather superstitious. For instance, pilgrimages, sort of bowing down before statues of saints, hoping that the saints will help you out in heaven because of your reverence for their statues. This critique of medieval superstition, we could call it, became very influential for the Reformed tradition. It was influential on Zwingli, Karlstadt, Calvin. He was, I think, really one of the precursors of the Reformed tradition in Switzerland. What he advocated positively, Erasmus did, was an inward piety, right? Not directed outwardly at crucifixes and statues and other outward things. Right? We've run into that theme before with Karlstadt. Erasmus advocates an inward piety of love for eternal things, which is very much in keeping with the best of that Augustinian paradigm of spirituality, which we discussed in the third lecture of this course. Turning away from outward things toward inner things, turning away from temporal transitory things like statues to look at eternal things like God. And the crucial sort of engine for this piety is study of Scripture. Erasmus has a deep biblical piety. He loves reading and studying Scripture. He's a scholar. This is what he does for his life. And his Scripture scholarship is part and parcel of his Christian piety. So there's a lot that Erasmus has in common with Luther, this critique of the medieval church, of the papacy, this love of the Bible. Yet Erasmus did not join the Reformation. This is a very crucial feature of the 16th century landscape. There are good people who have lots of critical things to say about the Roman Catholic Church who stay Catholic. Why?